Okay, I actually want to start out by doing this in-class if statement, just to make sure you're comfortable with the basic query of if statements. So if you go to week two and open the one that says in-class if statements. Okay, what we're going to do here is what I call playing computer. So I've got a employee database, and this is the data that's in it. Now, this is actually a standard database that comes with Oracle, and you can actually download this database. If you go do a search for the EMP database in Oracle, you'll find this database, and you can download it and use it. So I want you to go in. This is the data that's in it. So I've printed out the data there. And what I want you to do is play computer. So I want you to go in and do these four problems. Okay, and do them by checking the data and determining the results. So you can check the data, determine the results, and write out, instead of having Oracle do it, write out what the results would be. Okay? So I want you to start out doing that, and then we'll compare answers. And there's just four problems, but I want to make sure you're comfortable with these.
What do you want us to write them? You want us to write them down?
You can write them in paper, you can write them in notepad, you can write them any way your little heart desires. Is there anybody that's new? Okay. Good luck. Okay. To start out with, while the rest of you are doing that, actually that's one of the reasons why I'm just doing this first, is so that I can get people on. So, do you have a login should have been sent to you?
There was an issue between me registering because I had unregistered everything and I haven't gotten any login information.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have you got login information?
I don't want information, but I was able to log in to these.
You were able to log in to which?
This one.
Okay.
This one, I mentioned the password you used.
Okay. The Oracle password. Did you get, you should have gotten one that has an Oracle password. Okay, so while you all are working at that, let me just run through PuTTY for a minute. Okay, so for the people that are new, what we are going to do is go in through PuTTY. Actually, I want to have the smart board up there eventually to take pictures. So I might as well do that now. Okay, so if you go into the one that says software, there it is. And under software, you will find PuTTY. Okay, so under software, you're going to find PuTTY. Yes? Okay. So when you get here, then you've got your host name should be cisweb.bristolcc.edu. If it's not, you have to enter that in, but it may be there. And then on the port, it should say 220. Then if you want to change the colors, you can go and click on colors, because you're going to get a black background with white writing. If you don't like that, you can go in and change colors. But we're going to skip that. So anybody that just came in, there's an in-class assignment that I want you to work on. Okay, so once you've got that, you click on open. So I click on open, and then I log in using my Linux password. So I'm putting my username, that's my standard username here, and then I'm putting in my Linux password that they should have sent you there. Okay? When it comes up and tells you that you're in to CIS Web with your name, so you're into your portion of CIS Web, at that point, you enter what is on the week of. If you go down and look at, it says using PuTTY. So it says once you're there, you should enter SQL plus 12CSH. So that's what we're going to enter. So we're entering that SQL plus 12C. 12C.sh. So I'm entering that and hitting enter. And at that point, it comes back and asks for your username again. Okay, because we're now into Oracle and we have to log into Oracle. So you now come in and you're entering your username. Whoops, I wasn't back there. You're entering your username again. And then you're entering the Oracle password that they gave you. And you should at that point see the SQL prompt. And that tells you that you're in. Okay? So that's how you log in. Did you get in all right? Good. And you can't, you said, because you haven't got the stuff, but at least hopefully that made sense.
Yeah, I was seeing it because I was in this class the last fall semester, but then dropped out. I was seeing if I was, if it was still worth it.
That's worth trying.
I just came from this. I'm looking to it.
So, for people who just came in, I want you to work on the in-class exercise. Good statement. Exercise. So work on that now so that I can get people that arrived set. So that's how you log in. Then what I did last week, was if you go to notes and handouts, I started with create a table, or introduction. I actually started with create, then I went back. So I did these top three. I didn't do the fourth one. And I'm going to skip that for a few days. So I did introduction to SQL, create a table in SQL, and SQL conditions. And the assignment that I'm giving you is basically based on SQL conditions. So an SQL condition is one that I'm writing here, for example, where I said select ID number, that's a field that's on the database table. I have a table that has these fields. So I said select ID number, name, city, state, from donor, where state equals Rhode Island. So that means use the donor table. Select all the records where state equals Rhode Island. Okay? And so that is a conditional statement. Now, on the assignment I've just asked people to do, I gave them a table, and there are all the fields that are on the table. So these are the fields on the table, and this is the data that's in those fields for the records that are on the table. And I'm asking people to go through. So the first one, I said, show me the employee number, employee name, job, manager, salary, commission, and department number from employee copy. That's this table where the department number is 10 and the salary is greater than 1500. So you have to go through and look at the records and find the records where I have both department number equals 10 and salary greater than 1500. And we're just doing this by hand right now because we're doing what I call plain computer, because if you can't figure out what the computer would do, then you have a problem. Okay, so that's where we are. Does that make any sense? Promise? Okay, and what about you? Okay, well then just start doing the exercise. The other thing is Joe Perkahan is my SI this semester, and I've got the help times on my page, and he will be here able to help people at the times that I've said. Okay, my website is www.petegrosser.net. My email is p.grosser@rcn.com. So that's the email that I would like you to use to send me questions, assignments, anything like that. Okay. And once you get to this page, you click on 150, and 150 brings up the page. Okay, brings up the first page of Oracle. So it's p.grosser@rcn.com. And when you get to Oracle, it's notes and handouts that you want to look at. Presentations go with those. They had moved the present, or they had done something to the address of the presentations, but I think it's fixed. If you find a problem, please let me know. Somebody sent me one that they couldn't find it. And it was because they had done something in IT too. So here are the help times. We're still playing with rooms because they keep changing the room schedule. So we're still playing with rooms. But today, supposedly, Tuesday from 2 to 4 in K104. So if you've got a problem, you can go to K104 anytime from 2 to 5 and get some help. And as I said, we'll be trying to figure out the rooms. So that's a quick overview. Okay. And I record the classes. So the classes are under audio. If you come here under audio, it's a recording of the classes. And so you can just go in and click on these and get the recordings of the classes from last week. So I would suggest doing that. And to go with the recordings, the SmartBoard presentations, the notes that I put up last week. So you can follow those notes as well. So this class is a student option class, so all of the stuff is put up there so people that are online can find it and use it. Okay. So, anybody got any questions, new or old?
Do we go over editing? What's the output when you edit instead of select?
Say that again.
Oh, that's
yes, SQL edit, is this like, it's opposite of the
output? SQL edit, no.
Oh, really?
That simply means that I went to the editor.
Okay, so it's going to still output.
Exactly.
All right, that's helpful. So I was over here like looking up, like, wait, what does that mean? What is that going to do?
No, it's going to work just fine. When I come back, I apparently made a mistake. Okay, this one I did right the SQL prompt. This one, apparently, I made a mistake, so I said go into the editor. When I left the editor, I hit that O, Control O, and it wrote down that it wrote its file to the buffer and showed me what I fixed.
Okay.
And then at the SQL prompt, I typed a slash and it ran.
Okay.
Hi. What are you looking for?
Oh, Say that
again. So how many records did you get for the first one?
I only got two.
You got two? Anybody get more than two?
Was it more than two?
Huh?
Was it supposed to be more than two?
I don't know. I haven't done that recently. Okay, so what two did you get? Give me the employee number of the two that you got.
So I got 7839 and 7782.
7839, the president and the manager.
Do you agree with that one or not?
Yeah.
Okay. So 7839 and 7782 are the two that you should have gotten?
Yes.
Okay. So now what do you get for the second one? How many did you get for that?
We have a small delay I'm working on.
Pardon?
I'm still working on it.
Okay. Then we will wait a moment. I'll tell you what, if you've already done one and you figured out how the fields go, if you just want to put down the employee numbers since we're doing it in class, that works.
Oh, shouldn't that be way easier? I appreciate that. I was copying and pasting, so it wasn't that bad, but it was...
So just put down the employee numbers and we'll figure it out. Have you got two done yet?
I do.
Yes. Anybody looking like they're nodding their heads that they've got two done?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Nobody else seems to be. Questions? Okay, the first one was looking for ands, right?
Yes.
So I wanted everything that had, if record had to have both of these criteria true to get an and.
Yes.
The second one needed either of the criteria. So I either needed a manager greater than 7782, or I needed a job of clerk.
Yes.
And I could have both.
Yes.
It's fine. It doesn't hurt if you have both, okay? So what are the ID numbers that you got for this one? How many, first of all, how many did you get?
I got six.
Seven.
Yeah, seven. Yeah,
I got seven.
Six, seven.
I probably missed
seven. Seven? You got seven?
I have eight, I'm sorry.
I have eight.
You
have eight.
Okay, six, seven, eight. Here we go. Anybody got nine? Yeah.
I don't know whether to add.
Oh, really? That's true.
Yes,
so okay.
That was my problem, yeah.
Okay, if it was double, then you had to make a decision about whether to put it in twice or not.
Yes.
I forgot.
Do you have any doubles?
Yeah, there are some doubles there.
Clerk, but it would still.
I think Jones and.
It would show up twice.
It would still show up twice.
Right.
Yeah, I saw those typos. I worked around it. I just figured you accidentally put two in the same thing.
I probably did accidentally put two, but still, if the file accidentally had two on it, it's going to process both of them. So it will actually process both.
Yes, it would be 20.
Okay, so if it had, for example, clerk, let's see, we've got Adams, James, and then if Adams and James show up above, there's Smith as a clerk twice.
Yep.
So Smith would show up twice. Okay? Because Smith is a clerk, so it's going to show up twice.
So
if I have it. So once for here, once for here. Okay? If I had a file that had the duplicates on it, I need to clean up my operation, starting with that. But in fact, if I had a file with two of them on it, it would show up twice.
Yes.
Okay. So what's the entire, if I, somebody, Joe, you did it with everybody, right?
No.
So you got nine?
No, he got eight.
I have eight.
Eight. And then somebody said they had nine? No, eight was the top. Okay, nine was just what I was begging for. All right. Want to give me the eight IDs?
7369. 7566. 7566 again. 7566 again. 7582. 7876. 7900. And 7934 is what I got.
What is the
7566?
Why?
Jones, manager. What? MGR 77. Because it's manager number 7839. It's greater than 7782.
The 7566?
That's its employee number.
All these employee numbers had to be greater than 7782 if the job was a clerk. If the job was clerk, then that was fine. But if the job wasn't clerk, it had to be greater than 7782. Okay? So is everybody satisfied with these? Those are the same ones that you got?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, on the third one, what's the difference between the third and the fourth? Yeah.
The third, you're doing the Coffee's Noble salary is greater at first because that's the parentheses, the other one not.
Right. Which one has something that has to be true?
Well,
table, and say word 20.
Say that again?
Say word department 20, so that it has to be true.
In number three. In number three, department has to be 20. Anything that's not department 20 is automatically kicked out. Okay? So in number three, department has to be 20. And then in addition, I need one of these two things.
Okay?
But it, department has to be 20. So in number three, my first thing is department 20 and either of these. So I kind of think of this as either of these. Either com is null or salary is greater than 150. So it's either of those combined with department 20. It goes in and resolves the parentheses first. So it comes out with the fact that it meet either of these. And then it goes and looks for department 20 as well. Down here, ands get resolved before ors. So it's this group or salary greater than 1500. So it's either the combination of department number 20 and null, or just salary greater than 1500. Okay, so that's the combination you're looking for, yeah.
For number three, if we didn't have the parentheses, it would still function the same way, correct?
No.
Because
ands get resolved before ors. Number four is number three without the parentheses.
And it's different.
Okay, number four is the same as number three, except I took out the parentheses.
Well, yeah, I was trying to ask, because if it didn't have the parentheses, wouldn't it look for the one that's department 20? And the ones I did find, if it didn't have the other two, wouldn't it still... I'm just confused, because technically it still needs department 20 regardless. So why does the parentheses matter if it doesn't before or after?
Because you just analyzed it wrong?
Maybe, I don't know.
Oh, no, not maybe, definitely.
Okay. So
this one ands are resolved before ors.
Yes.
So the first thing it does is it combines these two.
Okay.
And says either these two or just that.
Oh, you're saying so it separates them.
So it's either this or this.
If we don't have the parentheses, then... Okay.
If you don't have the parenthesis, then it follows the rule that ands are resolved before ors.
Gotcha.
Okay, if you've got the parenthesis, then it becomes department 20 and either of the other two. Because parenthesis override the and or rule, and I resolve parenthesis first. Okay, so that's what should come out with that. Okay. And I'm going to pass around an attendance sheet. And if you were here today and did it, then you don't have to send this to me. I'll just check you off. Okay, so number three, what do you have? How many records? How many records?
Six.
Six? Anybody agree with six? Hello? All right, has anybody done number three?
I think a lot of us are going to work on it. We just finished number two.
Yeah, go ahead.
I only got two.
You only got two?
Yeah, there's definitely more than two. Every single two.
Well, a lot of them are repeats, right? We're not counting the repeats.
Well, we're putting in the repeats, because if the repeats were out on the file...
They would come.
...then they would show up again. Okay? If I have a file that has repeats, then they're going to show up. So when I go through number three, anything that has a department 20 is in consideration. Anything that doesn't have a department 20 is gone. And for you who home, if you go on and listen to this, you've obviously got the answers, but I'd still like you to try to make sure that you understand how it works. It pays if you're not here to listen to the audio and look at the notes if it's an in-class project. And for you who came in very, very late, make sure you go over the first two.
I got six on three.
Okay, then go on to four.
Okay. I just didn't know if I was going to discuss it tonight.
Not until we got more. Anybody else need the attendance sheet? Okay, it went in a strange pattern. I went down there and across, and now it's waking his bay whack up. The right hand of the room got one solved before the left. Okay, is anybody, what have you got for number three? Somebody that's finished number three.
I got 7369. 2975. 7369. 7566. 7876. And 7902.
Seven. I know that's six. Okay. Anybody agree with that or disagree with it?
Where is
2975?
Yeah,
that one
is
doesn't.
Where am I?
2975.
There's no employee number
too.
You
can
find it. I must
messed up.
Okay. So
no,
this isn't good.
You took a salary off of 7566.
Yeah. 2975. 7566.
This should be what?
7566. You just copied the salary of the football.
Okay, 7566. Other than that, does that right? That look right?
Yeah.
Yeah. If anybody disagrees, let us know. So that's what everybody got for three. Okay, what about four? Have you got four done?
No.
Okay, let's give me the numbers for four then.
7499. 7566. 7369. 7499 again. 7566 again, 7589, 7839, 7876, and 7902.
Is anybody in agreement with that?
I'll go one more.
Oh, wait, I think 7369 repeats.
Yes.
So it should be 10.
Okay, is everybody in agreement with that set?
Sorry.
Yes, no, maybe? Anybody that disagree? Okay. So the difference again was the parenthesis made a significant difference in this, 6 versus 10. Okay, so how it got resolved with the parenthesis there got me 6. How it got resolved without the parenthesis got me 10. So obviously the parenthesis made a significant difference. Questions on this? Does everybody understand how to work conditions? Okay. If you didn't do it, I would honestly suggest you do it at home, and then I'm going to be posting the answers so you can see the answers. But it's an exercise that's worth making sure you understand. Tell me when you got them all. You got them all?
Yep.
Okay. Okay, then what we're going to look at next is under notes and handouts, I'm going to look more on maintaining an SQL table. Okay. Because this gives you the basics now of if you make a mistake in a table, how you can make changes to that table to get the right data. So I'm starting out and I created a table that I called maintain, and I created it just so that I could experiment with it. So I said, okay, create a structure called maintain. So I have create table, maintain, and I've got 5 fields in there that I put in. Okay. Then I use DESC to describe the table so that I could see the structure. Okay. Then I came over and said, okay, insert. So I inserted values into it. Now, this is inserting a value into every field on the table. There are 5 fields, and I've got something going into all 5 fields. Down below, I've got to maintain that I'm only putting something in 3 fields. And so if I want to do that, I can say insert into maintain and then put in parentheses the fields that I am planning to use with this insert. And I wanted to use the ID number, the item name, and the department. So I'm skipping 2. Okay, and it's fine with that as long as I tell it that that's what I'm doing. So I said down there, I want to insert into maintain. I want to put something in the ID number, the item name, and the department. I don't want to put anything into the price or the purchase. And so I tell it what fields I'm going to work with, and then I give it the values to go into those fields. And notice they have to be in order. Okay, when you're doing an insert, the data has to be in the order of the fields. So that's more on the insert. Lots of times you create records and then you may be adding information later on, and that gives you the ability to do that. Okay, so I've got my insert to go into the 3 fields. Okay, the next thing is I've got an update. And this allows me to update a file. So if I made a mistake on price, I can go in and change the price. So I'm saying update maintain, set price equal to 15, where the ID number is 234. So what I actually did here is I took the record where I'd only put in three things, and I then added in a fourth thing to that record by giving it a price. And I did that using the update. As you can see in the line below, I can update two things at the same time, or three things, or four things. So I said update the price and update purchased. The where is important. I have, unfortunately, done this sometime without the where, and it changes every single field on the table. Okay? So the where is critical. And if you don't tell it where to do it, it's going to change every single record on the table.
Is there a way to undo a command?
Yeah. Yeah, there is. But the main thing that you should do is, actually is the, you can do a backup, we'll come back to that. But the main thing I was going to make the point of is, as soon as I create a table, I make a copy of that table. So I would start out by saying create table, maintain backup as, so I can say here, create table, maintain backup as select asterisk from maintain. Okay. So I've created a copy of the table. Create table maintain backup as select asterisk from maintain. So I've now made a copy of the table. Okay, so if I mess up, I've got a copy. And in fact, what I usually do is I try to keep maintain fairly pure, and I play around with maybe the backup. Or I make another table and say create table maintain copy. And that's the one that I work with. You saw in this last exercise I was working with employee copy. And that's undoubtedly how I got extra records in there. As it was employee copy, and I did some stuff with it, and I got extra records in there. Okay? So this gives you a table that you can keep as the backup. And so you always have a copy of it. And I always do that as soon as I make a table, because I'm probably going to mess it up at some point. And I want to have a copy. You can do a rollback, but there are some things where rollbacks don't work correctly, so this is just a good thing to do.
Can you do that after you make any table?
Yes, you can always do that. And you can do it at any point, so you can make... I have the employee table that I use. I probably have 10 different copies of it out there, and I've completely confused myself, totally and completely. But I think EMP I've kept pure. Probably haven't, but I think I have. Okay, so now I can update the table, and I can update it by setting fields to specific things that I want to do. And then I can come down and delete the table. So I inserted a record in there, and then I said, okay, now I'm deleting that record. So I've got an insert to put in a record, and then I deleted that record. And the delete is simply delete from maintain, where ID was 235. So it deletes the record that I have 235 and deletes that record. Okay, so now I know how to add a record to a table, change the record with an update, and delete the record with the delete. Now, all of that is maintenance on the data. It's not maintenance on the structure of the table, it's maintenance on the data. And tables have two things. They have a structure and they have data, okay? So you need to also be able to maintain the structure or fix the structure. The audit command does that for you. Okay, and there are a load of different clauses that you can put on the altar. I've got a couple of the clauses here. In the homework assignment, I've asked you to go and look up a couple more clauses, and there's even more than that, so there's a lot you can do with altar. But I said here, alter the table, maintain, add the cost, and I gave it the structure of that cost. And you can see down here, it's added that to the table. Okay, so if I decide I want to add a record to the table, I can do that. Okay. So that is altering the structure of the table. So I have the insert, update, and delete to change data. And I have an alter with a whole variety of clauses that let me work on the structure of the table. Okay? So if you go down a little bit, there is a alter table maintain, and I did a modify on it. So that modifies item name and makes it a different size than it was. Item name was 10. I've now made it 12. Okay? So again, I want you to go and look up alter and figure out some of the other things that you can do with the alter command. And I've put those in the assignment. But while you're doing it, take a look at some of the extra clauses that the alter command lets you have. Okay? And again, the fundamental is I've got two kinds of maintenance: maintaining structure, maintaining data. Okay. The next one we're going to look at is SQL functions. And I've got a bunch of different functions here that we will look at and comment on. Okay, one of the things that I want to show you is the description of a table called Dual. And they have a table called Dual available to you. And Dual has one record in it with one field. It's a dummy field, bare char 2 for one character. So it's basically a worthless table. Okay, but it's a useful table because it is required to have something in the from clause on the select. You have to have the from clause. And so if I really didn't want a from clause, I can just throw in from dual. And dual is the worthless table. It has nothing in it and nothing on it, and it doesn't do any good or any harm. But I have to have something to put in the from. So here I said, select initial cat dog from dual. And it comes back, okay, with dog, which now has an initial cat. So I basically, at this point, wanted to know how initial cat worked. I didn't want to run it on a table because I get 1,000 records or whatever was in the table. So I just said, I'm going to experiment with initial cat and see what it does. How am I going to do that? I'm going to put the from as dual. So I then wrote, select initial cat with dog from dual. I did a select upper. I did a select lower. So initial cap, upper, and lower are all functions in SQL Oracle. And they're all functions that can give me results. Yeah?
I don't see the word dog in the table, so it needs to be there.
But it's not in the table.
Okay.
I'm just saying a literal layer. Select the initial cap of the word dog.
Okay.
By putting it in quotes, it's a literal, and I'm saying, give me the initial capital of dog. Okay, if I had said that and I'd said from employee and there were 10 records on employee, I would see dog 10 times. Okay? If there were 1,000 records, I'd see dog 1,000 times. So I am just saying I don't want to be bothered with the table. How do I not be bothered with it? I use a dummy table that doesn't have anything in it, and therefore I don't get anything. Now I can then string all of these together. So I did an upper on name, a lower on street address, and an initial cap on state, and this time I used a table. So it went through and did it. But again, the difference is, here with dog, I was working with a literal. Down here, I'm using field names. And the quotes tell me the difference. The quotes around something makes it a literal. The no quotes means it's hopefully a field name. And so it's going to go in and work on that particular field. And so I'm changing uppercase. And again, I am not changing the data on the table. If I want to make everything on the table uppercase, I need to do an update with a set. Okay, the only way I get to change my data is with an update. This just alters the data temporarily for this report. It doesn't change the data. And that's a very good thing. You know, Oracle keeps its data, or SQL keeps its data pretty safe by only having very specific commands that can alter data. Okay. And as I mentioned, I think, last week, one of the nice things about the upper, for example, is that I have upper city equals CCOM. If I don't know how the data was entered, and the data might have had some entered in uppercase, some entered in mixed case with an initial cap, some entered in lowercase, but I want to change them all, or I want to get them all in this case, I say select city, state, from donor. We're taking city and converting it to update, to upper rather, gives me CCONC. So that means that I will find all of the records that have CCONC on there, whether they're uppercase, lowercase.
You made them uppercase.
I didn't make them anything, no.
But the where upper.
But what did I just say about maintaining the table? Okay, this doesn't change the data. It simply changes it for a particular report. So in this case, I'm guaranteed that I'm going to get anything that has an S-E-E-K-O-N-K. Whether it's uppercase, lowercase, or mixed case, I'm going to get anything that has the word CCONC in it. Okay? If I just had said where city equals CCONC and not had the upper there, then I'd only get records where the city was all capitals. Okay? So if I had just said where city equals CCONC, then anything that had capital S, lowercase E-E-K-O-N-K would not show up. I would only get the ones that match the capital. So this is a way of making sure that you get the data no matter how it was entered. Now, in a good shop, they are going to have rules about how you enter this. This should be entered mixed case, this should be entered uppercase, whatever. They're going to have rules about it. But I've seen too many places that callousness won, and the data got entered in a variety of ways. Okay.
So if you were to set it to up initial, I would just find all the ones with up initial cases.
That's right. If I had written CCONC with a capital S. Finally it started annoying me enough when that thing going off. I assume that will take care of it. Okay, The next one I put in a little with spaces, and then I did a right trim, which got rid of the extra spaces at the right, and I did a left trim that got rid of the extra spaces in the left. So those are two other functions that I can use. As I mentioned last time, the difference between character and VairCare 2 is that VairCare 2 only will look at the actual part of the field that was used and has data in it. Care will look at the entire field, including trailing or leading spaces. And so character really is very rarely used except for things where there is a fixed length, like state, like major, like something like that, where there's a fixed number of characters that are always true. Okay, I can also pad something. So down at the bottom you see select R pad city 12, and so I wanted city to be 12 characters, and so it wasn't. I padded with asterisks to get up to 12 characters. Okay? And this is the kind of the thing that you see on a check lots of times, that they don't want you modifying the check, so they'll put leading asterisks in front of the amount on the check so that you can't modify it. Okay? Okay, concatenate, I almost always use the line, two lines right next to each other. But there is a concat that lets you also concatenate two fields together. Okay? So I concatenated two literals together and I got dog cat. I concatenated two field names together and I got the city state put together as one. Okay? So if I want to, I can concatenate two fields. Okay. The next one is substring. And this one is an important thing to use. The substring lets you take out a part of a field. Okay. So lots of times ID numbers especially will be a series of things, like an item number, the department that it's in. It will be a series of things that make up the ID number for an item. And so you want to be able to go in and get the department that's embedded in it, and it's the fifth and the sixth character. So substring lets you go in and grab the fifth and sixth character of a field. Or it lets you go in and grab the second, third, and fourth character of a field. So substring lets you extract data from within a field without extracting the entire field. Okay? It also lets you check a field and locate. So again, if department is characters 5 and 6, and I only want records with department 12, then I can go in and say, okay, show me the records where the 5th and 6th characters are a 12. And I will see those records. Question or? Okay. So substring lets you extract data. So on this one I said, substring of date first, go to 4 and give me 3 characters. And then show me the whole date. So substring went to 4, so it goes 1, 2, 3, 4. Then it shows, says, give me the next 3 characters, so I get the 3-digit month. So it went to character 4 and gave it to me. Now, as languages in general, you always need to check this, because substring in some languages starts with 0 being the first character. In other languages, it starts with 1 being the first character. Okay? So on this one, I said start with 4, and so it counted 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, but there are some languages where it would have counted 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, and it would have given me UL hyphen, because it started with character 0. So it's always worth checking out and making sure whether substring is going to start with 0 or whether substring is going to start with 1. Okay, it can do either. So that's what substring does for me. If I don't put in the last number, okay, these numbers are the field, the starting point, and the number of characters I want. If I were to leave off the comma 3, it would give me from the starting point to the end of the field. So if I leave off the length, it assumes I want to start at character 4 and give me everything past character 4. Okay. In string finds something inside a string and tells me the location of it. Okay? So in-string goes in and says, okay, go to city and find the first E. And so it comes back and tells me that the first E in CCOM is at position 2, that the first E in Providence is at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So it tells me that it's there. The literal that I'm looking for doesn't have to be just one character. I could have looked for RI or something like that, and then it would have found the RI in Fall River. Okay. Length gives me the length of a field. So Stephen Daniels, the length of that field is 15 characters. Jennifer Ames is 13. Susan Ash is only 9. So it tells me the length of the field. Okay. Now, one of the things I am going to ask you to do is something I ask every programming class to do, and that is the name flip. So we're going to assume there's a name, Doe/John. And I want you to flip that name around, maybe it has a middle initial too, and give me John M. Doe. So using these functions, okay, using these functions, I want you to, and I'll give it to you in a homework assignment, I want you to go in and take the name and flip it. Now, when you look at this name, what does the slash symbolize? Why is the slash there? Yeah.
To determine where the name
ends. That's right. To tell me where the last name ends and where the first name begins. So if I work off that slash, it's very helpful because I know that the name had the last name is ended when I find the slash, and the first name is about to begin where I found the slash. So using the slash helps me to flip the name. I couldn't do this without a slash because I might have a last name that was 2 words. And so if I did it based on space, or I might even have an embedded space in it. So if I did it based on space, it wouldn't work. But the slash as a divider lets me do it. And this is the kind of common problem that you have because names are frequently stored as last names first. They want the last name. But when you want to use it as in an address, if you're sending out a mailing or something, you want to flip it. And you want to have the name in this order. Okay? So other companies will carry the names separately. They'll carry last name separately, first name separately. But if you want to carry the name as a whole, then you need to have a way to flip it. So kind of think about that and try it. Try to figure out how to write a select statement that will take a name from a file that's in that order and will flip it such that it comes out correctly. Okay, the replace actually replaces something, but again, it doesn't change the data. It just replaces it for this report. So I said select replace, and I want to take state, and I want all MAs to be replaced with TX. So I want all Massachusetts to be replaced with Texas. Okay. And then the one I like best is the one down below, which is Soundex. Okay? And it actually works with Seekonk. Where Soundex City equals the Soundex, and I put in here what Seekonk sounds like, Seekonk. And it actually comes up with the town, S-E-E-K-O-N-K. So it actually works if I can figure out the sound well enough such that it would come up with it. So you can actually, if you don't know how to spell it, but you know how it sounds, you could actually play around with that. So those were a series of string functions that you can use, okay? So rather than go on, we have about 5 minutes. If you want to log on, you can go ahead and try a few of those. So if you're on, like I am, okay, you can try a few of them using whatever file that you have out there. So just take a few minutes. I think I've got about 5 minutes. Take a few minutes and experiment with a few of them.
Are you going to check the classwork, or do you want to send it to
me? Say that again.
Are you going to check off the classwork, or do you want to send it to me?
No, if you sign the attendance sheet, I'll just check it off.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Yeah.
So for the assignment that's on Thursday, when I tried to enter in the poll for, Carl Hershey, it didn't work.
Are you the one that had it in quotes?
No.
Okay.
Yeah. I just put in zero.
Okay, that wouldn't be null.
Yeah.
You should be able to just write the word N-U-L-L.
Yeah, it didn't.
That seems kind of strange.
I'm trying to update it now. Wait, I think I might have done it in quotes.
If you put the word null in quotes, then it didn't work.
Oh, okay.
Somebody sent me that, and I don't remember who. Somebody sent me that, and I did respond and say, take the null out of quotes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right, I did that. That was you?
No.
Oh, okay.
I tried that.
You tried, right. Because if you put the null in quotes, then it becomes a literal. It becomes a variable or whatever. It becomes a word. It doesn't become a variable. It becomes a literal. And so N-U-L-L has meaning. It knows what it means. But when you put it in quotes, it's not the same. And in fact, you get the...
Substring my old
friend.
What? Substring my old friend.
As I said, I give that assignment about 5 times. Because it's kind of interesting to see the different ways you do that in different languages. Yeah, right.
Six, maybe seven.
Something that it's actually common to see that in like coding computers sometimes. I watch a lot of coding on YouTube, I see it all the time.
Say that again?
It's actually common to see that during coding interviews, like people are getting jobs, you know, do this with a string of words, you can do that with
yeah.
a
string. Oh, string manipulation is very probably 50-60% of your interview.
Really?
Yeah. They do a lot of that, they do a lot of reverse, like what's called, maybe just reverse.
Right. And, you know, though the things that help you with that are things like substring and instring. And so those are the things you can play with on that. And I went through it very quickly in this assignment, but we'll actually look at it. That it will keep coming back to haunt us. I mean, in this list. But it will keep coming back and we'll keep working on it. Especially those two, substring and instring, those are heavily used.
Yeah, I fixed it.
Was that it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I used to update and just fix it.
Okay. So as I said, just go and try a few of these things. Try using Duel.
Why did you name it Duel?
I didn't name it Duel. Oh, Oracle named it Duel.
Oh, that's just something Oracle has.
Yep.
All right, I thought it was really neat.
Okay, so when I put in the initial cap from Duel, it comes out and gives me Bristol. Questions. We're actually done. On your Mac, it says go.
The directions are on your site, right?
Right here, down under week one, okay? At the login screen, enter your username and your Linux password. When you see you're at CIS Web, enter SQL plus 12c.sh.
Oh, okay.
Then that connects you to Oracle. Now enter your username and Oracle password, and you should see the SQL prompt.
Okay.
Okay?
All right.